Good evening, everyone. Just before we really get started here, just wanted to report, because we do have an audience wider than this room, that we have our first full-blown snowstorm here in Wadsworth. So just to poll the attendees this evening, who's excited about the snow? So I would assume then everyone is not excited about the snow. But I'm excited to see it because it makes the campus look beautiful. And it makes it look more unique than just the gray that we see. The snow is not there. So that's my thought on the subject. But this is a youth Bible study, and we are about 6 months out now from the beginning of camp, in that ballpark at least. I think a camp is a little earlier this year. And I chose a subject that hopefully will lubricate your minds a little bit and get you ready if you're going to be there in person as a camper or as a staff member somehow in some capacity. Just give you a subject that helps to, make it through the cold winter months and, start thinking about a warmer time of the year when you'll have an opportunity again to be at AYC. So the subject tonight is, what does it mean to be a servant? So just kind of ruminate on that a little bit in your mind. What does a servant mean? What does that word mean? What is a servant and what does it mean to serve? Obviously, serving is a huge part of being a Christian. Some of you in this room are baptized, some aren't, but we're all on a similar path, aren't we? But what pops into your mind when you think about the question, serving others? What sort of things pop into your mind? And as a youth, if you're a youth in God's church, you have access to the mind of God. We have a Bible study this evening, and then tomorrow we'll have Sabbath services. And God's mind will be on display. God's servants will be preaching the mind of God. So you have access to that every week and through these regular Bible studies. I looked up the word serving in the dictionary, and it's helpful to look words up. Not just in the Hebrew or the Greek, but just looked up the word serving. And it means to provide a service or assistance, to deliver or offer something, to fulfill a role, a duty, or a purpose, or to act in a particular capacity, especially in an official role. So that's sounds a little bit officious when you read it that way, but serving is essential to what we're doing here, to everything we do in God's church. So this is the basic structure of this message, this Bible study. We'll be talking about who we serve first, and you probably have a good guess of who that might be. And then we'll talk about the importance of prayer in your life. And then beyond that, we'll talk about a series of verses that talk about the golden rule. Some of you may be familiar with the golden rule, but we'll discuss that particular concept and how you can apply it in your lives every day. So serving others is central to God's way of life. We'll establish that. And as youth in God's church, you can serve today, every day. I see it at Sabbath services here at headquarters and around the world as well. You all have an opportunity to serve in God's church. So we'll ask kind of a first question. What does God ask of us when it comes to serving? And the first point that I'll talk about is serving God comes first. We'll establish that baseline here. Serving God comes first. Please turn over to Genesis 2, Genesis chapter 2. I won't read through the entire account, but God gave something to the first man that lived in the flesh on the earth, something for him to do, didn't he? Genesis 2 and verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, that was the first direct command that God gave to a human being, was to go into the Garden of Eden and to dress it and to keep it. We won't go through the entire account, but how did that turn out? What was the resolution of that matter? Did Adam and Eve, eventually Eve was there too, did they obey? You know, did they take, you know, that request, that command on that God gave them to heart? Did they obey it? You know, we know the outcome. They ended up not being there anymore. They had to go someplace else. So what would have happened if they would have obeyed? What would the world look like today? You know, we have an opportunity to be overwhelmed with news these days. I'm sure some of you look at the news, and there's just too much of it out there to digest, but none of it is, or the majority of it isn't good. So that decision on their part to not obey God resulted in the world we live in today. So we need solutions, don't we? But God gives us solutions. If you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10, we can continue to explore this topic of how does God ask us to serve? Deuteronomy chapter 10. My son, back when he was 3 or 4 years old, and there was always a flurry of activity after services. You know, there's all sorts of things. There's tables being moved. There's chairs being, you know, placed in different locations. And he always wanted to help. But his favorite thing that he wanted to do when it came to helping the young men serve was to run the vacuum. I think it was because it looked a little bit like a spaceship, perhaps. It had a big light on the front, I think the one we were using, and it made a lot of noise. But he never ran the vacuum, but I keep telling him that eventually he'll have an opportunity to do that here at headquarters. So that's just one of the ways the youth serve here at headquarters. But in Deuteronomy chapter 10, we can start to get an idea of what's on God's mind here. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse number 12. We'll just read the one verse. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul? So that's the key here that I wanted to talk about, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. So how do you do that? How do you do that? We'll just go into the definition of the word serve in the Greek. Or in the Hebrew, it means to be servants, become servants, or do service. So very straightforward. But it's to serve God with all your heart and all your soul. Now, who likes to go watch movies or watch movies at home? I think we all do. I had an opportunity when the movie Inside Out 2 was in the theaters. We went to go see it in the theater. And you know, it's one of those animated films, you know, that's fun and entertaining, but it also kind of pulls at your heartstrings a little bit. It's a little bit emotional at some points. I'm not going to divulge whether or not I shed a tear, but no one was able to see it in the theater because it was dark. But it has a very emotional kind of ending to it, that particular movie, and it pulls on your heart. And that's a big part of service. God understands that when we serve him, we need to do it with all our heart. So that means we need to be involved that way. It's not that same emotional heartstring that gets pulled. It's not, you know, out of sadness, but it's, you know, excitement to want to help somebody. That's why we serve. Now, here at headquarters, there's a variety of ways that all of you in this room tonight serve. I'm sure there's examples all over the world at different congregations where the youth, where those that are not baptized can still pitch in. Now there's a very simple definition of serving. You know, you look at this water glass here on this table tonight. Now if someone hadn't filled that water glass up, I wouldn't have a drink if I needed it. And that's an act of service, just a very simple thing. Very simple thing. So it doesn't need to be this elaborate process of serving. It can just be opening a door for someone, just helping out in a small way, and you're serving someone. But that's what God wants us to do. That's what he wants us to have, that mentality, to have the heart of a servant. Please turn forward to Joshua chapter 24. We'll continue to kind of set the stage here a little bit. Joshua 24. Read one verse here in Joshua 24, verse number 15. Joshua 24 and verse 15. And we've just come through what in the world is called the holiday season, and I'm glad for that every time it's over. I'm sure some of you are as well. But in Joshua 24 and verse 15, we'll read, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, which God, whether the gods of your fathers, the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites who in the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. You can see in the world that very few do that. Very, very few serve the true God. You know, I go into Lowe's once in a while, and every time you go in there, they're blasting Christmas music. It seems like right from the end of October all the way to the end of December. So I haven't been in there since the new year, since 2025 came, but I am hoping that they're not playing Christmas music anymore. But that's what you see in the world. You see decorations everywhere, and you see people that, you know, don't understand anything about the true God. So an extension of this verse here in Joshua 24, we can turn back to Exodus chapter 20. It's not supposed to have any idols. When I was a young man, I was a big fan of baseball and basketball. So my entire room, I used to sell these all the time in sporting goods stores. I had every inch of the wall was plastered with a sports poster. So Every particular athlete, famous athlete from, you know, way back in the day that you could think of. And, you know, you can follow people and, you know, be inspired by their, you know, athletic endeavors. But when I was 10 or 11 years old, I didn't understand that. Plus, I made a couple holes in the wall that my mom didn't know about. So I wanted to make sure they were covered up with something. So I got a lot of posters to cover those up. But I'm just telling stories on myself here. Exodus chapter 20, and this is the second commandment. Exodus 20 and verse 4. "You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." So God doesn't want us, our Creator doesn't want us to serve other gods or idols. So he wants us to serve him. So that's very clear here. Psalm chapter 100. This is one that some of you may be familiar with. There are lots of inspiring psalms. Psalm chapter 100. We'll begin in verse number 1, Psalm 100, verse 1. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." I know some enjoy to singing. I will not demonstrate my singing ability this evening. I'll just spare you from that. I will plan on singing tomorrow during Sabbath services, making a joyful noise along with everyone else in the room to cover up the sound of my voice a little bit. But serve the Lord your God with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So that word gladness can mean exceeding gladness, fullness of joy, mirth, pleasure, or rejoicing. So that's a way we can serve God during services every week when we sing out. That's why the song leader asks you to sing out, because we're singing to the Creator. I've been had the opportunity of being at camp this past year for about 3.5 days with my son, and I gave a Bible study, and just saw that level of enthusiasm at the campsite. You know, I believe there was karaoke going on, and there's just a kind of a certain level of enthusiasm that goes into that. You think about exceeding gladness. You know, I just see the joy on people's faces, the fullness of joy, the mirth, the pleasure, and the rejoicing. And we've been preparing a camp magazine. It should be ready for release here very soon, but I've had multiple opportunities to review the photos and just to, you know, go back through and remember exactly what that felt like being at camp. And, you know, that excitement and, you know, hearing that singing and that that joy that was present in that on that evening. But we should be similar when we're thinking about God. When you think about our Creator, we should be glad to serve Him. But what is a primary way that you can do that? What is a primary way that you can serve God? And that's by serving others. You know, take that example, take that request, take that command, and go out and help other people. But how do you do that? There's a very good example within God's Word, and that's Jesus Christ, of course. His example here in the flesh is one that we should take, pay attention to, review the things that He did when He was here, when He was qualifying to be ruling with God. Please turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll read a few verses here, beginning in verse number 3. But we should take His example, take Christ's example, and then apply it when you're serving. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem each other better than themselves. That's a theme we're going to talk about later in this message too. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. So he lowered himself, didn't he? And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So, Jesus Christ, what was his profession when he was here? When he was here on earth, he was a carpenter. And that's not a glamorous profession, is it? Building things. It's very important, and there's a lot of analogies there when you think of Christ as a carpenter. But he made himself of no reputation when he was here. He humbled himself, and he took upon him the form of a servant. So Christ was a servant. He was serving God when he was here. So we need to take his example in our lives and try to apply that, don't we? So God wants us to serve him. We establish that. That's his request. He wants us to serve him with all our hearts and all our souls. But why did he call us to serve others? Why is that a big part of God's plan for everyone? We can learn from Christ's example, can't we? So when you're here in these Bible studies, and when you're here at Sabbath services tomorrow, you are serving God. Just think of it that way. The fact that you're attending services, the fact that you're listening to the messages, and you're hearing God's mind on things, we are serving our Creator at the same time. Now, in the Worldwide Church of God, Mr. Armstrong talked about the give way versus the get way. There's a big divide between those two things, isn't there? The give way versus the get way. And we are going to clarify the difference between the two a little bit this evening as well. But we want to talk about Christ's example, don't we? So if you turn over to Luke chapter 2, There are very few accounts of Christ when he was younger, and this is one of them. Very few examples. It would be interesting to know more of the things that he did, because this is just pretty amazing, this account here in Luke chapter 2. We'll read verses 46 through 49. And this happened when Christ was 12 years old, when he and his parents had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover. And he was 12 when this happened. So Luke chapter 2 and verse number 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him. Christ's parents found him. This was after the Passover. In the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought you, sorrowing. So they were very concerned about their son. And in verse number 49, and he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Would you not that I must be about my father's business? So what was on God's mind was on Christ's mind. And when he was 12 years old, he was ministering to individuals in the temple. And that's just an amazing account. But even at that age, and that proves to all of you, and all of you who are in the room are older than 12 years old, but you can be about your father's business. You can be about your father's business. So Christ demonstrated service, a spirit of service that during his life on this earth, during his life in the flesh. So serving mankind was his goal. So in John 13, we can continue to learn a little bit about that. John chapter 13. John 13 and verse number 14. This is a very well-known account. If any of you have been through the Passover service for the baptized in the room, this is something that's done every Passover service. But in verse number 14 of John 13, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so Christ washed his disciples' feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So Christ had that humble attitude. Now, can you imagine? I mean, this was a fairly common thing when someone would visit your home. You would very often, they would be out walking to reach their final destination, and they weren't wearing Nike shoes and socks. They were wearing sandals, and they had dirty feet. And if you've ever smelled the socks of a 9-year-old boy, I didn't realize this. I don't remember it starting that early, but the things get a little smelly. So you have to humble yourself in order to wash someone's feet, don't you? And that's why it's part of the Passover service. It's a humbling experience to do that. But Christ did that. He set that example for all of us. Matthew chapter 23. Just more examples. We'll just go through a few more before we move on to a different part of the message. But Matthew 23. And verse 11. Matthew 23 and verse 11. Just further establishing Christ's attitude as a servant. Matthew 23, verse 11, But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Verse 12, And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So another example of what Christ wanted our attitude to be and what he did when he was here. Galatians chapter 6. We'll just continue to establish this theme. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Kind of a summary statement here, but it also introduces another element of serving. Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So Christ set an example when he was here of serving others. But I think we can extend this this verse to include all of you. You know, we all have peers within God's church, you know, friends, acquaintances, you know, people that we like to spend time with. But you can also, you can bear one another's burdens, can't you? You know, someone can tell, you know, if you're a little bit down, maybe someone else can come over and, you know, tap you on the shoulder and, you know, give you that, you know, pick-me-up that you need, can't they? Bear you one another's burdens. That word bear can mean to lift, to carry, to take up, and this is something all of you can fulfill, you know, that role. Now, I don't know if it's sung at camp. Every year at the bonfire that we have here at headquarters, we sing the song Lean on Me, and it's one of my favorite songs to sing. It just has a good message to it. It's very very sincere. I won't sing, but I will quote the chorus, and this is from that song. I think it was written by Bill Withers. But lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. So that's something you all can do for each other. And I see that at Sabbath services. I see that during the feast, you know, when the youth are together and they're having a good time. But you can tell, you know, they care about each other. And I can tell that you all here do the same thing. You care for each other. And that's a big component of Christianity, just that ability to walk over to someone and just give them a hug. So hugging is a big thing. I wasn't a big hugger before the church, but I've come to hug once in a while now. So I think it was because my mom was Japanese, and the Japanese people are not huggers. So maybe they hug a little more than they used to, but I didn't grow up hugging people. But now in God's church, I don't mind doing that. But we aren't in this alone. That's a big part of it. We have someone else to look out for us, you know. Think about the verse about being your brother's keeper. Maybe that isn't quite the same, but you know, you think about people. You know, people are on your mind. Maybe someone had a rough experience and got fired from a job, or you know, they had an exam at school and it didn't go quite as well as they were hoping. You know, and you just talk about things, don't you? You know, throw that ideas off of each other, ways to get, you know, bring them back. You know, you try to bring them out of that, you know, funk that they're in, potentially. But we're all in this together, aren't we? All of us. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. This is talking about the body of Christ, but it applies to all of us in this room, not just the baptized members, because we're all in this together. Your mom and dad and your family that's in the church, and we're all in this together. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Verse 5, so we, being many, as one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So all of you play a role in that, don't you? But, you know, if you're feeling like you're lacking in any areas, there's something very specific that you can do. If you feel like you're struggling in a particular area, and especially when it comes to serving, you know, you don't know until you know how to do something. You can see things are going on, but you don't really understand how to pitch in and help. But prayer is a very important aspect, isn't it? And we can follow an example in the Old Testament of what King David did when it came to prayer. And there's lots of examples in the Psalms of what he, you know, those soul-searching prayers that he made to God, and they're recorded for our benefit today. So Psalm chapter 51, we'll turn over there. Psalm 51. We'll begin in verse number 10, Psalm 51, verse 10. And this is a key verse. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 11. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. So, create in me a clean heart. That's what David was asking God. And renew that right spirit in within me every day. So clean can mean pure and fair. And, you know, I talked about, you know, when you watch a sad movie, you feel that pull. Or you feel bad for someone when they're going through a trial or a hardship. And, you know, it kind of pulls on your heartstrings. And that's where your urge to serve comes from, too. And so David was asking for that heart of a servant, wasn't he, here in Psalm chapter 51. And that's the key here. Turn back to Psalm 28. Psalm chapter 28. But if you ask him, God will hear your prayer. You don't have to be a baptized member. God hears your prayers. Psalm chapter 28 and verse number 7. We'll just begin in 7. Actually, we'll begin in verse number 6. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. But God heard David's prayers. So he said right here, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. Think about singing with that joy. But God will provide you with help, and all you have to do, and it's a simple thing, maybe not as simple as you would think, but you just have to ask for it, ask for that help. And that's and further proof that God hears our prayers is in Psalm 138. Psalm 138. And just verse 3. Actually, we'll just read from verse number 1. Psalm 138, begin in verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with your strength in my soul. So, further proof that God answered his prayers. God heard him. So if you want to be strengthened, if you want to be able to serve in a greater way, just take that to your prayers. And you remember praying for a clean heart. That clean heart is a key. But we'll transition now into some of those verses I was talking about at the beginning, and they're typically known, they can be called the Golden Rule, and you'll recognize that when we read the first one. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We'll just read one verse, verse number 12. And this is from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew Matthew 7 and verse 12, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So, you're familiar with that. Do unto others as you would have done to you. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. So, one of the best ways that I've found to improve your ability to deal with people is to have a job that is customer service related. So, I see some smiling faces out there, but how many have had a job that was customer service related? So there's a few in the room, maybe more than half. And I worked in that realm for quite a few years, where you have people walking up to you and expecting something out of you. And it's a unique experience. And you can learn a lot from it as long as you're paying attention to what's going on. But it's one of the best ways you can learn the nuances of dealing with others is to work in a customer service position. So I got better at it as the years went along. But one of the key aspects of customer service is to never reflect back what someone is giving you initially. So if they're giving you, happy and, I'm having a great day, give that back to them. But if they are having a bad day, one of my goals was to try to make their day as good as I possibly could by not reflecting that, that attitude back, but to, reflect back in a way that it pulled them out of that somehow. And I wasn't always successful, and sometimes I just had to, deal with them that way. But it was not a situation where I gave up on people. So there were times where I would see the same person over and over and over again. And, eventually you break the ice with them, hopefully. There were a couple where I never broke the ice because they weren't interested in any ice being broken. But you learn how to deal with people. And then you can apply that, the way that you've dealt with others, and apply that with your relationships within the church. Because everybody has bad days. I have bad days, and I'm sure you have bad days. And there are occasions you probably could pick out in your mind where someone brought you out of that, someone within God's church. They were able to pull the reason why you weren't feeling that good, and once you were able to talk about it, all of a sudden that bad day disappeared. And I think we all could think of occasions like that. But it all starts with this, what's called the golden rule. Luke chapter 6. We'll turn to Luke, the book of Luke. Luke 6. But that's a big part of being at AYC, too. Anyone that's been there more than 1 or 2 years, just that ability to interact with others. That's a big part of what is presented there as far as the activities and the, the lectures. But being able to communicate effectively with others and, be able to see when someone is not, quite right and try to, have that. Because it starts in your heart. You feel something for that other person. You feel a connection. And you want them to feel better. So you do everything in your power to help them to do that. But Luke chapter 6, verse number 31. Very simple verse. Another example of this principle. "And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise." So you always have to, in the back of your mind, you have to ask yourself, how do I want to be treated? Like when you're in that customer service position and someone comes in and they're not having a good day. And they start the process of trying to take that, not the greatest day out on you. But you think to yourself, how would I want to be treated? If I was, I had a bad moment and I was, kind of barking at someone because I wasn't getting what I wanted. How would I turn that back around? It's a skill that you need to develop. And, eventually you get fairly good at it. I was one that always tried to deflect with humor. It didn't always work. But sometimes once you get a person to smile, that other stuff just melts away. So that's a skill to develop. And, you know, those interpersonal relationships. I saw a very tight-knit group at camp this year. You know, everyone seemed like they were all on the same page. And that, you know, they wanted to everyone to do well. And they wanted, in every activity that I saw, there was, you know, people were rooting for each other. And, you know, it was inspiring to see. But, you know, just think about that. You know, that principle. Galatians chapter 5. But this is a valuable skill that you need to kind of nurture. You know, even if you're not working in a customer service position, you don't have a job yet, it's something that you can work on. Even when you walk into a convenience store and you can tell the clerk is not having a great day. You know, just smile at them and, you know, just you don't reflect that back to them. And that's a big part of this principle. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's a similar way, as a, kind of the same, different way to say the same concept. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And it's just anytime you're interacting with someone, it doesn't have to be someone that's in the church. You have to think about this principle. You know, ask yourself the question, how would I want to be treated in this situation? And that'll help you to guide how you interact with that person. If it's the only time you see them in your life, or, you know, you see them every week, and eventually, you know, you get a smile instead of a grimace. And, you know, I'm just thinking of multiple occasions and multiple individuals where that became the case, and we became, you know, not great friends, you know. We didn't hug each other every time we saw each other, but we would smile at each other instead of that person, you know, having that funny look. My son and I possess the ability to have an elastic face. I won't make any faces for you, but you've seen people where their brow is furrowed and they're just doing it for the sake of doing it. And it feels exciting when you kind of break the ice and that doesn't happen anymore, when you see that person and you just smile at them. So that's a big part of being able to do that. Loving your neighbor as yourself, you know, wondering, you know, think to yourself, how would I want to be treated in this situation? And it can, you know, flavor and direct your interactions with other people. And that's a big thing. James chapter 2. We'll continue to go through some of these foundational verses here. And these are ones, you know, write them down, review them on occasion, you know, when you're praying to God, you know, think about some of these verses. James chapter 2, and it'll, you know, create in you that clean heart, the one that David was asking for. James chapter 2 and verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. So that's another way to describe it. It's called the royal law. So when you think of something royal or royalty, what comes to mind? You know, kings and queens. So the royal law is another name for the golden rule. And you know, even if you're not baptized yet, you know, we're all on this path, aren't we? Where we're qualifying one day to rule as kings and priests, and that's part of the, you know, the law that will be exercising over people, you know, that true law, the one that comes from God, and it comes first. You know, you ask yourself, how would I want to be treated? Of course, in the world, it's turnabout is fair play. If you've heard that term, but it means, you know, if someone gives you grief, you give grief right back because, you know, they deserve it. That's what they deserve, and that's just what you see in the world. And it's not getting any better necessarily. It's most definitely getting worse. But we can learn further about this, and there's some very interesting things we can learn in Luke chapter 10. So this kind of ties two concepts together that we've been talking about here. Luke chapter 10. But that question. You could ask yourself that question when you're with your friends in the church too. You know, how would I like to be treated? You know, if someone's giving you, someone is not having the greatest day, don't, you know, reflect that back. That turnabout is fair play. You know, don't reflect that same attitude back to them. You know, think, you know, do you like to be treated that way? No. So, you know, think about how they would, how you'd like to change their day. And yeah, that's a skill you can develop. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And he answering said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So that ties in what God was asking of us, right, as servants. You know, all your heart and all your soul. And he adds, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. So it ties those two concepts together there. But I'll just keep drilling this point home. How would you like to be treated? How do you like to be treated? So think about that when you're interacting with people. Because, you know, if we look down the road, look over the horizon, that'll be our job one day, is dealing with people that need help. And if once you develop those skills in this life, you'll be able to apply them, you know, by a multiple of a billion in the kingdom when you have, you know, when you're made of spirit. Now, one of my favorite sports, I know it's been played at camp here and there, is tennis. You know, I think cycling is number one. Number two is baseball. And then after that, I really enjoy playing tennis. But you think about all those racket sports. I know there's some that play pickleball here at headquarters, but you also think about badminton, I mean real competitive badminton, and ping pong has a similar concept. But you start with the ball, and what are you doing when you have the ball? What do you have to do to get it to your opponent? You serve it. So serving is a part of that sport. And this kind of occurred to me while I was building this Bible study out. But, you know, you say the score, and then you say service, and then you hit the ball. And then the ball is in the other person's court. So think about that when you're interacting with other people. So you hit the ball to the other side. They aren't your opponent. You know, they're your friend. But eventually they have to let the ball bounce, and they have to hit it back to you. And then that interaction that you make when you're doing that, you know, you ask yourself, I mean, you want to beat them. I'm sure there's a level of competition there. But, you know, you're giving, there's a give and take during that process. So, you know, you say hello, and you give a greeting and maybe a hug, and then the other person says something, so that interaction. So you're just hitting the ball back and forth, but it's a way you can serve each other, you know, a way you can build each other up, especially kind of during these cold months. At least it's cold here in the Northern Hemisphere. But it's a way that you can build each other up, and then you can prepare each other for what's going on to happen at camp this year. So think about AYC. We'll think about camp a little bit. I know we have a new campsite this year. It's a lot closer, and it should be a lot more convenient for everyone traveling to and from camp. But if you're still of camper age, are you fully committed to being there again? I know it's exciting to think about the prospect of campers coming from all over the world this year. And we'll be able to see faces in person that we've only maybe seen on video calls or in photographs that we are able to see. We are planning to release a big set of photos again. So for everybody to see, it'll be for campers and anyone involved first, and then the youth, and then the whole church can see those. We're going through them and kind of building out a supply of photos that we can share, but it'll be well over 1,000 by the time we're done, so you can look forward to that. And but build each other up. You know, you can serve each other now. You know, there's a lot of lessons you can learn at camp. I learned a few lessons at the campsite. I learned that I should have used two mattresses instead of one on my bunk because I was sore for a good solid week on both sides, because every 15 minutes I would flip from one side to the other. So the sleep was not the greatest at the campsite. I did appreciate the fact that we had a cot and a real bed, but the big thing was that we had a shower in the room. So that was a big perk. But fully commit to being at camp this year. It's important that you support each other. You think about, all those interactions you can have. I'm sure some of you, you have phone calls. Seeing each other in person is ideal, but, we're so scattered and people are everywhere. And you can have text messages and, video calls and all sorts of things to stay in touch. And that's important to do. But I think about, how do you feel when camp is over? Remember that feeling when everything is packed up and you're driving home. It's similar to when you're at the feast too. It's very similar. What are you thinking about? Are you kind of resolving in your mind, I want to be back again next year? I have thoughts like that driving home from the feast. I want to be at the feast next year. That's a goal. Because at the end of the feast, there's always this in a message, potentially on the last great day, they talk about, there are some of you that won't be here next year when you come back. So have you resolved in your mind that you want to be at camp this year? It's important to think about those things and to support each other in that way. That's the way you can serve each other. And beyond setting chairs up, wiping tables down, making sure that the trash is taken out after services, those are all important ways to serve as well. But another big way you can do that is just by supporting each other and being at that camp. Because that way, what we share after camp is better. If your face is not in the photos this year, it won't be the same. So think about that. All of you have an opportunity to contribute, those that are of camp age. And if you have experiences, you can apply those experiences when you go back again. So that's a big part of it. So we've talked about the golden rule, and that's a big thing. Love your neighbor as yourself, and that can happen in any interaction that you have, whether it's in a grocery store or at school or here at Sabbath or when you're just hanging out with your friends in the church. Love your neighbor as yourself. Apply that principle. How would you want to be treated in those situations when things get a little dicey or someone's going through a trial? What reaction would you want out of your friends? Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. I'm sorry I wasn't a youth in God's church and didn't have an opportunity to be at camp. I'll just put that out there. My wife had the opportunity when she was younger in Worldwide to go to a big camp in Minnesota. I think it was Orr, Minnesota. And, things were different back then. There were a lot of kids, and I can only imagine what kind of attitudes were kind of in the mix there. But they went on, a 3 or 4 day canoe trip, camping included. And I just can't imagine that happening these days. But I can only imagine she thinks about it on occasion, because that's a unique experience. But we have campers have very good opportunities to have unique experiences at camp. So every year is a little bit different. So I know they're planning kind of the curriculum and thinking about what's going to happen at this new campsite, and it's very exciting to think about. But how are you planning? I know you have to save up some money. What ways are you thinking about trying to fundraise to be back there again this year? And to see people that, we weren't able to see for several years. Because just the inability to travel, COVID kind of broke a lot of things, but things are getting better now. and everyone should be back together this year, and that's an exciting prospect. But this is a big part of it, especially when it comes to serving. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So you have to do that. Do it heartily. You think about it with all your heart and all your soul. So if you're going to raise money, you're going to raise funds for camp, you know, talk to your friends how they're going to be doing it. You know, team up if you can. And think of ways that you can involve others and help others out and kind of support them. You know, think about that song, Lean on Me. You know, it's important to think about. Matthew chapter 25. This will be the final scripture tonight. Matthew 25. Verse 40. Just read one verse. And this helps to put everything, a lot of what we talked about tonight, into a context, a greater context. And this is, think about this verse when you're, you know, dealing with others or you're serving. Matthew 25 and verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it to me. So, you know, if you have one of those days where you're reflecting back, you know, think about that verse. So, you know, God can feel that, you know, that attitude. So it's important that we think about our interactions with others. You know, think about how we react to others, and it makes it very very personal, doesn't it? But if you're thinking about what God is requesting, think about Christ's example. You can fulfill that law, you know, the one he's asking us to fulfill, and that we do that when we serve each other. You can see that every week at services. You can see that at socials. You know, everyone wants to pitch in and help and, you know, make things better. And that's, you know, something we see regularly here at headquarters and in the field. I'm sure we had an opportunity to be at a smaller congregation after the feast as we were traveling home, and to see, you know, on a smaller scale, the same things were happening there that happened here at headquarters. There were less people, and we had to, you know, all pitch in a little bit, but the same things were happening. So whether you have two people in your congregation or 20 or 50, we're blessed to have close to 100 here at headquarters. That serving each other is important, isn't it? But you aren't trying to please men. You know, I got this ring here, and I polish it up, and it's nice and shiny. Look at me, I have a nice shiny ring. You know, that's not our attitude, is it? So we want to help people, and that's the big part of it. You can help your fellow youth, your friends. You know, let them lean on you. You can lean on them when you need it, and you can become closer that way, and help each other. But Christ's example is another thing that we talked about. But if you pay attention to his example, some of the verses that I gave, it will help you. You know, think about the sacrifice he made. You know, it was a great sacrifice for God to, you know, ask his son to do what he did. But that was Christ's way of serving. And that was serving us, wasn't it, in the final, you know, analysis. But those golden rule verses are key too. Please go back and review them. You know, think about them. You know, write one or two of them on a 3x5 card and keep it in your pocket. Just keep those things in mind. You know, when you're out in the world, you know, working your job, and you're having everybody around you is having a bad day, and you don't want to be sucked into that bad day, you know, just pull one of those cards out and look at it and review that verse. But you may be asked to do a few things here or there. I know some have kind of graduated to, you know, being ushers here at headquarters and serving in other ways. And, you know, every task that you're given, try to do it to your fullest. the best that you know how to do. And God will give you whatever you need. And if you need more, just ask for it, in a prayer. And pray for each other. That's an important aspect too. But learn to love to serve. That's one of the goals we have as individuals in God's church. But the ball's in your court. I just served it, and it's on the other side of the net. So what are you going to do? And what happens next is up to you. So it's been a pleasure to give this Bible study. I hope everyone has a good Sabbath evening, and good night.